Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio Presents OPA number 155. This is Kevin DeFrango. Sitting beside me is Ken Phillips. What is up, good sir?
Hey, we're back at it again. I feel like we're on a little bit of a streak here, Kevin. Since the holidays, we've been doing pretty good with our weekly recordings.
I would say that it even extended before that. I know that we did have to skip during the holidays 1 week, but honestly, I feel like the last couple of years, the holidays have been more than a single week's worth of skipping.
Yeah.
It was kind of, you know, the one thing that was nice about moving this back to the quote unquote traditional night to record, that being Thursday night.
We're not angering the gods as much, you know, we're able to get what we want done without incurring their wrath.
It wasn't about
breaking tradition.
Wasn't about incurring anyone's wrath. When I have to drive, though, I always listen to SiriusXM on my way over here. Mm. And on Thursday nights, they do like a history of heavy metal show. And it's always, it starts when I drive over here, no matter what the, you know, time schedule is. And
wait, how does that work? The show waits to start until you're on your way over here?
Oh, no, it always, what I'm saying is it always starts at that that time, no matter when the time jump, whether it's fall back or spring forward. Because it must change with the season, because I know that I listened to it.
Well, now I'm even more confused. But you come over here, everything changes, right? The time? Like, we all change the time.
Right.
So, but are you saying, like, whatever time you leave your house to come here, is that's when that show starts?
Well, it's been a pretty standard time that I've come over here.
Okay. All right.
And it's kind of been that way, honestly, for a while, just because I've always worked a little bit later, and I've never been able to leave whether the condo or the house particularly early, honestly.
I feel I may have gotten us off onto a little bit of a tangent here. My apologies. You were talking about a show that you listened to on the SiriusXM?
Yeah, but it's a history of metal show, and I guess because I don't listen to SiriusXM on demand, like if I'm listening to something like that, I'm going through Spotify, honestly. I don't want to pay to have Wi-Fi in my car all the time to be able to run data in there. And I don't want to do that with our phone plan either.
Hmm.
To have unlimited, like we don't really, we're not going to use it enough to make it the cost worth it.
Yeah.
Is at least part of our problem, with kind of committing to something like that.
Yeah. I just, we bit that bullet a while back and got the, unlimited plan with our company, but.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. It is weird to think about how much I kind of rely on my phone for, which is probably why I don't think about it most days.
Yeah, but to get back to the show, I don't really listen to SiriusXM on demand or like when I'm at my desk. You know, it's usually either podcasts or music, you know, just Spotify there. So I don't sign in to SiriusXM. So I don't it'd be fun. I know that they have an on-demand service. So it's not like one of those things that I couldn't do. I could do it quite easily.
Yeah.
But for reasons unbeknownst to me, I don't. So it was kind of nice on the trip over here to listen to that that kind of subsection, because it's always different music, too, than what they're typically playing.
So what era of heavy metal were they discussing this evening?
They were doing all metal in native tongues. Huh. So, just because there is a, you know, quite a number of bands that are from foreign countries outside of the U.S. that, you know, the U.S. and England kind of, like, almost co-developed metal for the most part. And then it's kind of spread elsewhere very quickly. Like, I mean, it's only 50 years old. Like, that's a pretty weird thing, you know? Like, it's barely our age group, you know, has caught all of metal.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, but there's still a lot of stuff just because, like, he was playing stuff from, well, I didn't get to hear all of it just because, you know, it doesn't take that long to get over here. But there are Japanese bands, Russian bands, Swedish, French, German, Brazilian. I know that there's a Puerto Rican band that sings in Spanish. There are a couple of Mexican bands that I listen to that sing in Spanish. Like, there are a lot of options for bands that sing in a foreign language to, you know, English.
Huh.
Which still, and even though, and a lot of bands from foreign countries still do sing in English. Like, one of my favorite bands right now is Gojira, and they're French, but they sing all in English.
Hmm. That's interesting.
But they're great. Like, if they were singing in French, I wouldn't care, honestly. Like, their music is so awesome that I'd be up for it. Because, oh, and one other band that I've heard recently, they're from New Zealand. They sing some of their songs in Maori.
Well, that would be, you know, I think it'd be kind of interesting to hear different languages. I've been, I don't know, I've been on a really different end of the musical scale here lately and getting into classical music, if you can believe it. you know, and sometimes those songs are, you know, in Italian or German or what have you.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, then you can maybe more, I think, focus on, like, the quality of the singer's voice and, I don't know, kind of appreciate it in a different way, I guess.
Well, I've argued a lot on the regular Stunt Granny podcast about how it's better for the WWE. The WWE has started to bring in performers from all around the world. And I think they convey emotion better in their native language. Even though I don't understand it, because wrestling is kind of more like a raw emotion-based, you know, show. Yeah. It worked to me, it works better when they just speak a foreign language. I don't understand. So there's this one woman, Asuka, that's just yelling in Japanese constantly. Don't understand a thing she's saying, you know. I mean, my Japanese is non-existent. But you can really, just from the tone of her voice and the way she's acting and everything, you can tell how much more comfortable she is speaking her native language. So,
did they try to, like, translate it or anything? Or
no.
Okay.
That's what makes it kind of even fun. Well, it helps that she's being a heel, so you kind of get that evil foreigner vibe, like kind of new age version, you know, without being overtly racist.
Yeah. I guess that has been a staple of wrestling for a long time as well, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. And they've certainly changed it up enough to suit the modern times. But I'm just going to say that it's still, you know, the underlying terms, I feel like, are still there.
Yeah, that would probably not necessarily fly today, even with some circles, but it's within the realm of acceptability, certainly. Especially for wrestling fans.
Well, and it's on a PG show, you know? I mean, it's not like they're doing anything too crazy.
Well, you know, we got wrestlers sometimes wear unusual outfits, I would say, Kevin.
Oh, okay. That's the segue you're going to run with.
Yeah, that's the... when you've eliminated everything else, there's really... That's the best I could come up with.
You're not going to go, oh, well, kids should not do wrestling at home.
That's true.
They should also not wear shorts in the winter, Ken.
I guess not. Now, this was an interesting article from our new favorite magazine, The Atlantic. And it's a phenomenon that I had seen before, but I guess I never realized that it was widespread, which, you know, it kind of makes sense. But the phenomenon of, you know, they say in this article, boys wearing shorts in the winter, like all winter long, there's certain boys who will say that, you know, I don't know. The whole article basically goes into, I guess, why this phenomenon happens.
Yeah, they do delve into the psychology a little bit of it. I was trying to think back if there was anyone in grade school or high school that did this in Altoona. And, like, I was coming up empty, honestly, for shorts.
I think you were this way a little bit, to be honest.
And how dare you say these things? I wore pants, at least, Ken. But, yes, this article did remind me of me quite a bit.
All right. I was saving that for the for on-air, but as I was reading this, I was like, okay, I think, yeah. This is reminding me a little bit of someone I know. or new. I think you've kind of most grown, you know, apart from this lifestyle.
Yeah, much like they, not to meaningfully hop to the end of the article by any means, but there was another guy that said that he used to wear shorts all the time, and he lived in Colorado at the time. And, you know, he does not do that, and he does not know when the changeover happened. And I've got to say that it is, as age has slowly gone up, my level of what I'm putting on has gone up also.
That makes sense.
You know, because it was, like, and I do think that the article's right, like, for whatever reason, there was definitely a macho level to me. Now, while I would not wear shorts, I definitely would wear probably like a spring jacket or something dumb in the middle of winter.
Yeah, when it's like really cold out, lots of snow on the ground, yeah, you would wear like a thin jacket outside.
Yeah, so I was not quite as arrogant as these people. I did not expose as much skin, but it still was not a good plan. And I did think that it was, a mental thing that you could outthink being cold. And honestly, like, I guess I don't really remember ever feeling that cold then. But again, like, as I've gotten older, I'm like, oh, no, it feels cold out here. Like, it's cold. Like, why am I doing this? Like, I need to dress warmer.
That's interesting. Maybe it was something mental then that you were...
I do think that there's at least some, a little bit... The article did say that physically younger children do tend to run a little bit. Warmer,
yeah, I think that's right.
Within temperature, because I do, because even these days, even though I dress up more, like, people in the office complain about how cold it is all the time in there, but I'm always like, I am roasting hot in here, but some of it's just, I think it depends upon where you are in the office, and I do think because I'm not near any of the windows... And surrounded by walls for the most part, that it's pretty warm.
Yeah.
So location does have something to do with it. But yeah, like, I do still feel like I run hot, as they even termed it in this article. You know, compared to other people, because even when I'm in those other person's areas that complain about being cold, like, there are a couple of, and this is why I wouldn't really expect a woman to do it, like, there is not a guy running around the office with a blanket on.
Yes, that is a true thing.
Like,
I would say that sometimes there are, and it's more the rule that, like you say, that women are cold.
Yeah.
But there are some times when there's women who run hot, as we say.
Yes.
I did know, it's funny, because one of the people I knew who, maybe the only person I ever knew, who wore shorts literally every day, and she was, you know, in her 40s at least, I would say.
Oh.
Was somebody that I worked with. You know, when I used to work at Resource or downtown.
Okay, yeah.
And that was surprising to me, you know, but then eventually I got used to it. And that was definitely not a macho thing. And I guess I'm not really 100% sure, you know, it was just something
that
she wore every day.
Yeah, there was one, the ex-wife. Her roommate, when she moved into my place, he wore shorts all winter long. Hmm. And that, I guess that was the other thing that the article was mentioning, is that most people are like me and the other guy in the article, where they tend to grow out of that phase.
Right.
At some point. And there are a few people that hold on to it, but this guy was at least in his, you know, late 20s. And he was still hanging on to the shorts, you know,
yeah.
Going outside. Like, it definitely felt like he was a little bit older than most of the people, because they were talking more about... I guess tweens, maybe, is it, like, I don't feel like they mention a specific number, because I think they feel like they say mostly young boys.
I feel like they were talking middle school kind of age.
Yeah.
Maybe high school age. Yeah, the concept of the boys wearing their shorts all winter long. I feel like I saw, you know what, it might have, well, I think it was a girl wearing a skirt that I saw when I was dropping off my daughter at middle school.
Oh,
this week, which I thought was pretty cold. So I might call into question a little bit of the article, saying that it's always boys who do this kind of,
well,
know, possibly, but maybe like every day would be something that a boy would only do. I'm not sure.
Well, and I guess I did think they were talking about trying to talk,
at least at that age,
your children into at least wearing some type of covering over their legs.
Yeah.
To, again, help with the exposure, because, yeah, there have been some, times where, I feel like it's been really cold, a few times, like, I don't always remember the bitter cold happening as frequently when we were growing up in Pennsylvania. Like, or maybe I was just more, you know, again, maybe it's one of those things that I was a little more used to it, so that it stands out a little bit more when it happens now.
Yeah.
But I think part of it, too, is, having when you have to walk dogs in cold weather, I think it changes things, too.
It's not just, like, on your way from the car to your house or anything.
Like, yeah, it's not like this little, like, maybe 5-minute experience. Or, yeah, your car to the grocery or wherever you're headed.
Yeah.
Yeah, your outdoor exposure is really pretty limited, especially in the winter, I would say. Anyone that lives north of, let's just, you know, go with the old Mason-Dixon line, where you get a real winter most of the time, even now.
Right.
But,
yeah, I mean, it's still been cold enough, and I think it was still cold enough back then, too, but...
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking of also another guy I knew who I worked with, and he was in his mid-20s, probably. But he wore shorts every day as well.
Oh.
Even in the wintertime. Now, he was from, South Carolina or something like that originally, where it was a little bit warmer. But
yeah, it's still not, like, it still gets kind of cold down there sometimes, from time to time.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you're really packing a winter jacket, but...
Yeah.
You know, you've got to know that that's going to come every now and again. Because I know that Jeremy has to deal with that in North Carolina.
Right.
From time to time.
And depending where in the state, I'm not exactly sure. But it was, he, I guess, carried the tradition forward to after moving to Ohio. So that takes some commitment, at least.
Yeah.
And I would say that was probably a macho thing what I could discern.
Well, and there are definitely some people that just think men in shorts is just weird in general.
I don't like that. I feel like men should be able to wear shorts. I also feel like men should be able to wear, sandals. Now, I feel like that could be, some people are going to say that's controversial, but...
Yeah, there are a lot of anti-open shoe people.
Yeah.
That is for sure. but I know that I clean myself, so I guess I'm not too concerned.
Yeah, I mean...
I'm not part of the problem. I understand that there's a problem.
Should,
I don't want my rights revoked just because someone else can't wash their damn feet.
Well said, Kevin.
Oh, man. Yeah, I was going to say, I'm just trying to wonder if there is something else. Like, oh, I guess I just always remember, and I feel like a lot of my cold weather tolerance, I don't know why, I remember more of the dumb physical gags with my older brother than my younger brother, even though my younger brother and I are closer. But I remember Ron and I... We got to the point where we'd walk out to get the mail at the end of the driveway, which was, it's not long, but it's not short either. But we both went out in boxers, and it's just like, well, there's nowhere else to go with this contest. You know, like,
it was boxers and no shirt?
Boxers and shoes, I should say.
And that's all you got. Okay.
Yeah. That's all, you know, that's what we got down to for, like, who could wear the least clothing to go out and get the mail.
You know what?
There are so many things that I look back on. I'm like, why? Like, why was that a plan? Like,
you know, I just remember this, and I literally did not remember it until now, of me riding a bike as a kid in the winter without a shirt on. And some, like, I don't know, this old woman that I had no idea who she was, like, scolding me and telling me that I needed to put more clothes on. yeah, that's, I guess I did that at least for a little while. Also, I remember thinking that it wasn't that cold. So I must have been... doing a little macho business myself.
You were feeling your oats that day.
Huh? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, mine was definitely more of a consistent behavior because I was trying to think of what else. Just eating anything hot was definitely a contest that I had with Ron and not with Brian. You know, who can tolerate eating something just... insanely hot, and now it's just like, why was I doing that?
I guess just to, yeah,
I'm tougher, man.
Did you see anything about this one chip challenge thing
I keep on seeing a one chip challenge. Is it supposed to be super spicy? I would assume
it's over now, apparently, but yes, apparently it must have been. I didn't get like the Scoville rating on it or anything, but It must have been pretty hot, judging by some of the reactions that I saw. We were watching a like YouTube video of some like local news kind of screw ups and flubs and things, or just funny things that happen on the local news. And there was a couple involving those chips from the one chip challenge. Like somebody like threw up. Somebody was like, they did a contest. Oh, this was the funniest one. It was a contest between two people. This guy and a woman, and the guy was like trying so desperately to win, but the woman was like, she had like Ethiopian ancestry and was like used to eating like really like spicy foods all the time, growing up and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, she was like, "Ooh, okay, yeah, that's hot," but he looked like he was so sick, like just like sitting there, and like they had like. They had, like, milk in front of them that you could, you know, give in, I suppose, and, like, drink the milk. And he was, like, refusing to budge, like, just, like, sweating and looking, like, so hellish. And she was just like, yeah, all right. Well, that was what she was like. He's like, that didn't bother you at all. And she was like, yeah, well, I mean, when I ate it, my, you know, my nose was running a little, you know, it was hot. But, you know, I'm fine now. He was like, I think I did permanent damage to my digestion. And then he finally, like, broke down and drank the milk. And then he had to, like, leave the studio while they were still recording.
Oh, my God.
It was highly entertaining to watch.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, that's a macho-ness gone wrong there, I guess, with the one chip challenge.
Yeah, the last thing I can remember that I ate that was in... Because it's become one of those things where sometimes I take it seriously when someone says something is hot these days. Because it has become a thing that is... very widespread. Like, it used to be if a label said hot, I just laughed at it. But A, I don't like things nearly as hot as I used to. But every now and again, I do run into something that's exceptionally hot.
Well, I don't think you were the only one who likes to prove themselves by eating hot things. And I think that market has kind of exploded since you've started enjoying the spicy foods there. So they probably have amped up the level of spice overall.
Yeah, it would be kind of interesting. You know, that's another one of those, oh, if that would have happened back in my day, there was not a national contest for people eating ridiculously hot food. Or there was not a one-chip challenge to be had in our childhood.
No, we were deprived of challenges, I would say, for the most part. We kind of had to make up our own challenges that I can remember.
Yeah.
Like the boxer short challenge that you and your brother engaged in.
Yeah, and I mean, you took part in at least one of the heat-based challenges, that, which was New Year's. I always used to mix Dave's Red Hot. There was a Hell Name... And there was a third... I mixed three of the hot... Blair's After Death hot sauce was the second one. And I'm trying to think of what the hell... You Can't Handle This hot sauce were the three hot sauces that I combined and put on wings. And I'd always have one at midnight there when we were doing the New Year's parties in Kent.
I remember that now, yeah.
Yeah, and that was one of those, yeah, that was a self-challenge that made me zero money, and people are, like, making money off of eating hot stuff now.
No, you didn't even go viral, if you can believe it.
Yeah, I gotta rewind this tape, man. I gotta figure out a way to be 20 again and to be dumb enough to eat that stuff. Well, and probably irreparably harm my stomach lining.
Speaking of wanting to be 20 again, we watched a a video.
Oh boy!
From the rock band Aerosmith, who played at the Grammys this past week.
Yeah, I would not say 20s. I definitely had tapped out of Aerosmith in my 20s.
Well, no, I guess I was thinking that Aerosmith themselves may once be 20. Or think that they still are, perhaps. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, there is a lot, in my opinion, to unpack with this one.
Yeah.
Because with the Grammy performance itself, before the article that you linked on top of it.
Yes.
I found it very awkward that I can't remember the presenter's name, but he made reference to both Aerosmith and Run-DMC. So when Aerosmith came out and just did one of their Living on the Edge by themselves, I was kind of caught off guard because I was just expecting Walk This Way, and then everything would be done.
You're right. That would have made more sense.
So, I know that the presenter, I do feel like he made an allusion to Living on the Edge in his speech. So, in hindsight, it maybe makes a little bit of sense that they did both songs, but I was not expecting that. So, just getting Aerosmith...
In 2020?
Joe Perry, the guitarist, sounds okay.
You know what? You're right. He actually, and he didn't look that bad, really, considering that he's, I mean, he's not
yeah,
a young
considering
person.
He's 70,
yeah,
at least, I would imagine.
Right.
Yeah. So he was fine. It would seem, I did not notice the bass player. I'm not sure if I ever noticed the bass player in Aerosmith. To be honest with you, like, he is not exactly a, feature member in my, like, I feel like they've been together the whole time, you know? So, I mean, I'm sure that he's important, but he's not, like, one of those bass players that everyone's like, oh, I wanted to play like that guy.
It's no Les Claypool.
Yeah, he's not Les, he's not, Cliff Burton from Metallica, you know... what's his name? Peter Steele from Typo Negative. You know, there are a handful of bass players maybe that people would want to imitate for one reason or another.
But yeah, the performance was what I would say is not good, Kevin.
Oh, yeah. But that came. I guess that was winding me back to Steven Tyler.
Oh yeah. Let's,
because since I'm giving I gave the guitar player a pass, bass player, I guess he was doing his job, but like, it, you know, I'm sure it adds to the song, but it's definitely not, again, it's not a feature item in an Aerosmith song. It's guitar stuff. Like, yeah, you're not going to hear a Les Claypool bass line.
It's guitar stuff, and, you know, singing has a lot to do with Aerosmith songs, I would say.
Yeah.
That's kind of, like, Steven Tyler, definitely the face of Aerosmith.
Yeah, and definitely the voice. Like, that's one of those things where there's a lot of guys, like, I know that Alice in Chains is still around, but... It was also one of those things that I haven't been able to really listen to him since Layne Staley hasn't been there. Because I always thought that he had such a unique voice that it's just kind of weird to me. It's certainly well beyond, it is their right to continue on. Plus, Jerry Cantrell, the guitar player for them, did do a lot of the singing.
Mm-hmm.
So, there was some precedent there.
I guess I thought they weren't even... I didn't realize they were still around. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I want to go back and listen to some of those albums now. It's just reminding me of them.
And Aerosmith, I guess, was... It wasn't necessarily to talk about them, but... Steven Tyler really, to me, has a very unique singing style. Like... It would have been, to me, hard to replace him. Like, I guess I'm not surprised that Steve Perry got replaced in Journey in some ways, just because that singing's very clean and
right,
almost by the book.
Yeah.
And Steven Tyler is not by the book by any... Like, obviously, he has a good singing voice and great range, but he does kind of have his own flair to singing.
Yeah, and a lot of his appeal is dancing around, and I don't know, like, he puts on a show when he's, you know, in concert, and, you know, that's part of his job, I'd say. He doesn't really, I don't think he usually plays an instrument.
No, I don't think so.
So he's there to entertain us with his antics, and, you know, obviously singing as well. I don't want to put that down completely, but he, was not, I guess, at his best, I would say, in the singing department.
Oh, no, he was downright terrible.
Yeah.
And he really, because, as you point out, that he's the kind of the guy that's kind of mixing it up, moving and shaking, you know, you can kind of sit there and just play guitar and get away with not being too animated. When you're supposed to be the animated guy and you're not really animated and you're singing poorly, it's definitely out there.
Yeah, that was tough stuff.
Yeah, and I guess that's the other part that's a little bit of a bummer for me, is that I did love Aerosmith for quite a while. I know that everyone gets older, but... this is also not something that I really want to watch. You know, like, they're kind of, like, I'm kind of glad, like, I went to go see Slayer's final tour. And, I mean, those guys have got to be in their 60s, because they've been around since, like, the late 70s.
That's same with Aerosmith, yeah.
Well, yeah, and I think Aerosmith was early 70s. Like, I think they have about 10 years on Slayer, so, I mean... Slayer's like, nah, we're out. And they sounded great. Now, granted, it's only like 3/4 of the original lineup, and they had an additional guitarist in there that was a bit younger. But they sounded great. And Aerosmith, though Joe Perry sounded okay, like, they didn't sound great.
Oh, no.
And I will tell you what, it did not dawn on me that the drummer was not the regular drummer.
Oh, yeah.
Until you linked me up on that story.
No, they really didn't show the drummer very much in that performance clip there. Before we even get into that, though, Kevin.
Oh, okay.
I just felt like if they had, I don't know, it seems to me it would have been better if they weren't, like, trying to do the exact same thing that, like, they had always done. Like,
like
the microphone stand with the, like,
scarf
on there or whatever.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, the same, like, dancing around with the microphone, like the same outfit. Like, they're like wearing the same
outfit clothes from the 90s.
Yeah. I just feel like that is definitely part of the problem there. I don't know if it's the whole problem. Or maybe, like, you know, acknowledging, you know, your voice is not the same and, like, singing things differently somehow. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I mean, I always think that maybe going acoustic helps hide some of these things.
Right. Yeah.
Plus, it just gives it a little more of a rustic sound. I just think, in general, whenever you do that, rather than an electric guitar... So, yeah, there are ways to kind of hide it. And it was kind of crazy, too, just because Run DMC did end up performing with them for the second song. And DMC looks ripped for whatever age he's at. And Run does not look too bad. Reverend Run looks like he's at least about the same size that he was, like, 40 years ago when that song came out.
Yeah, those guys didn't look bad at all, but I think they probably were a lot younger than the Aerosmith guys.
Yeah, I do think that they're a bit younger, but they're still looking pretty good for their age.
Because Aerosmith was really, like, they had been around for a while when we were young. It was like they were a little ahead of our time almost. But, I mean, they were still big in the 90s. Or maybe it came back in the 90s.
Yeah, they came back. That's the kind of the crazy thing is that, yeah, we really listened to their comeback. We didn't listen to their original stuff.
Right. Yeah. That's right. And then he's somehow, Steven Tyler's been famous for a while since then. He was on the American Idol or whatever. I don't know. But yeah. I think they need to...
Had a famous daughter.
That's right.
Who was in Lord of the Rings.
Who was in Lord of the Rings. They were...
and now she's on 911 Austin.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's... I had a bit of a crush on Liv Tyler, I guess, back in the day.
I'm sure I was
the only person that happened to.
It wasn't Reality... Was it Reality Bites?
Tower Records, maybe?
Tower Records.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, she was in Lord of the Rings, Kevin.
Yeah.
And you know what was also in Lord of the Rings? A ring.
yes. There was a very special ring. The one to rule them all.
Ken. And the police in, was it Scotland, I want to say?
yes, it was our good friends over the pond.
Yeah.
Ken, because this is from Yorkshire, BBC News. You know, we try to branch out a little bit.
We cover the world, really. There's nothing we won't cover.
But,
including lost items in, North Yorkshire, which I think is in England.
Yeah. They do not. Well, yeah, it says England, local news, regions, York and North Yorkshire.
All right.
So yes,
it is in England then.
Whew. Yeah. And the police department, and you just really have to go to the link, if you want to see it, but. The police department posted it is an elven ring. There is a ring with elven writing. And said that they were looking for a distinctive silver ring.
Or they had found one and they were looking for the owner. And they posted the picture seemingly without having any idea that it was a... you know, Lord of the Rings item. And a lot of people had fun with that post, Kevin.
Yeah, approximate, because they said that it got 20,000, was it 20,000 retweets and 16,000 comments?
Yeah.
Yes. And
they describe it as a distinctive piece of jewelry. And we're hoping that someone will recognize the markings and be able to tell us who it rightfully belongs to, as I'm sure someone somewhere is missing it. So I think part of what makes this funny is that they have no clue, like, what this ring is, you know?
Well, they've definitely
like,
been...
The markings are, like, completely unknown to them. When it's, you know, if you know a little bit about pop culture, I think you would recognize this as being Lord of the Rings.
Well, it's one of those things that, like, I know that pop culture is not, like, that is more segmented than it used to be. Because people can kind of get into their own gig as much as they want to or as little as they want to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I feel like most people kind of generally have some... general knowledge of a lot of, you know, there's like more general information than not, I guess.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of information out there for sure.
Yeah. And that if you have enough people in this police department, I would think that someone would have some knowledge of Lord of the Rings. Like, I think that's what's surprising to me. Like, I understand that maybe not everyone is familiar with it, but how is no one familiar with Lord of the Rings? Like, that is always a little bit surprising. Like, especially at this point, since they've had movies, like, I don't need to have you realize that you read the books and that you're intimately familiar with J.R.R. Tolkien.
Yeah, you needn't have read The Silmarillion to recognize this as being
something
some Lord of the Rings related.
Yeah.
Not some, like, unique item, you know, an ancient artifact that was found in an archaeological dig or something. I guess you would also expect somebody who's maybe the social media person for the police department to have a little bit more knowledge about, like, what's going on pop culturally, but...
Yeah, there's that too. Someone in an off-duty capacity should maybe have rung them up on this one. I was in tears, really. Even though these are predictable comments to be making, I was still howling that they made them on a police... a police website or Facebook page.
Yeah, there's just a lot of people dunking on the police here in the comments, it seems like.
Yeah. The ring was made in the fires of Mount Doom. Only there can it be unmade, is one of the comments. I mean, I was... Oh, man. Yeah.
The ring must be taken deep into Mordor and cast back into the fiery chasm from whence it came. One of you must do this.
Oh, man.
Probably my favorite one, though, is just someone just their own take on the matter, I guess. It has been lost before, and the last time it turned into a continent-spanning ball ache. Which is probably the most succinct summary of Lord of the Rings.
Ever.
Yeah, that really wasn't great when it got lost the last time, to be honest.
And, I mean, I did enjoy that at the end of this article, they're like, oh, no, really, like, we're trying to find a home for this ring. Like, people, like, this, someone did have this stolen from their house.
Yeah, we're all having fun here, but somebody knows where this belongs, yeah.
I guess I'm not surprised that there are replica, you know, elven rings out there. So I could see it being stolen, like... But yeah, I mean, you really should have seen this one coming.
Well, to think that it's, like, totally unique that someone... there could be... You know, that could have been bought from a store, you know, mass-produced.
Oh, right.
So it might be difficult just from the looks of it to necessarily know. But I guess if you had something stolen like that, you would know.
Yeah, that's almost the thing that's kind of surprising, since it's kind of a local news story here that someone hasn't, like, oh, yeah, well, shit. That was stolen from my house.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. I guess with all this hubbub, like, maybe somebody will, get a chance to see it.
And that's what they, that was another part of the police, like, well, okay, what, this was the quote, we obviously need to brush up on our movie knowledge. So, yeah, they were amused, but they still do want to try and do the right thing and find the proper home for this replica Lord of the Rings ring.
Yeah, I did appreciate that ending quote there. He's like, you know, basically, okay, we get it, ha ha ha. But no, seriously, we're trying to find who this belongs to.
people were fucking serious about this.
So, yeah, any of our listeners out there, maybe in North Yorkshire / Yorkshire region of England, had your home broken into recently or missing a Lord of the Rings style elfin ring, you might want to get in contact with your local police department because they, I think, have it.
Yeah, and one thing that is from, well, you can't really call it England because it's Scotland, really.
The UK, for now.
Definitely from the United Kingdom. Brewdog recently established a brewing facility here just outside of town.
The North American headquarters, I believe.
Yes, of their operation. And this beer that you purchased for us is one of their staple beers, Hazy Jane. It is a go-to for me at hockey games because it packs a decent punch. For one of these beers that they sell at the game. They do not really sell some extra high gravities at the Blue Jackets games. So 7.1% if I'm not 7.2%. I was mistaken by a tenth of a percent.
That is pretty good though for a sports game, I would think. Like it used to be, you would only go in there and get like Budweiser or Bud Light or something, Coors Light.
Yeah, that's why, like, if I'm going to spend, and I spend the same amount of money, I'm like, no, I'm going to get the most bang for my buck, or at least I do most of the times I go with the higher ABV, unless I'm really feeling a different beer.
Yeah, makes sense.
Cause yeah, just trying to grab more bang for my buck, and this is one of them, and it really does not hurt that I quite enjoy it. It's obviously a hazy IPA. It kind of has a nice crispness to it that some of the hazies don't have. I don't feel like it's as hazy-y as some of them are, but that's not really a bad thing in my opinion. It's a little more smoother drinking. Some of those can get a little too almost milkshake-y to me. But although I think the milkshake ones have a little bit of lactose in them.
Gotcha.
But there's kind of a different mouthfeel to them.
Yeah, I think this was a nice switch up. I had been having the Elvis juice from Brewdog more recently here. And this is maybe a little... I like the hazy as a change of pace here. So it's good to have options.
Yeah, and that's they do a really good job. Their core beers, I feel like, are pretty doggone good. Like, it was almost one of those things I felt like when they came here, some people wanted to hate on them because they weren't from Columbus.
Oh, yeah.
Necessarily, but it's just like, no, they just make some good beer. Like, I don't know if I'd still put them in my top five for Columbus, but they're at least in the 10 area somewhere. Like, I really enjoy their stuff.
And I don't get that either. I mean, if they're located here, they're hiring people
here,
from here. Like, I mean, they're local, right?
Yeah, they are definitely local now.
Yeah.
And I feel like everyone's kind of gotten into that. Like I said, I buy beer, their beer at definitely Blue Jackets games, and I think that there's at least an option at the Crew games. But I am closer to the Great Lakes taps and the Land Grant taps. So I will admit that my sheer laziness keeps me from drinking more Brewdog at the Crew games more than anything else.
Yeah, I get it.
It's pretty close to our seats at the hockey game to go snag some Brewdog.
Yeah. I can understand that.
So yeah, I mean that's the belt on beer of this show. So we will go ahead and get on out of here before saying at DeFrango 11 at Gozer 33. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you happen to listen to us. And have a good night.
And a good week.